At other times, it feels like being mildly drunk or concussed. There is a sort of invisible blanket between the world and me. I find it hard to take in what anyone says, or perhaps hard to want to take it in. It's so uninteresting. And no one ever told me about the laziness of grief. Even reading a letter is too much. It's easy to see why the lonely become untidy, finally dirty and disgusting. I not only live each endless day in grief, but live each day thinking about living each day in grief. I'm aware of being an embarrassment to everyone I meet. As Nate reminded us a few weeks ago, everybody has a story. The opening lines I just read are from the story that C.S. Lewis needed to tell in the wake of the death of his wife. Some of you may know Lewis as the author of the Narnia Chronicles. Others of you may know him as one of the greatest Christian writers of the 20th century. He was perhaps at the height of his career when the loss of his wife left him in such depression that he was nearly paralyzed. So he did the only thing that he knew how to do, he wrote. His book, Grief Observed, is Lewis's journal of pain and healing. If you haven't read it, it's an amazing work, in which Lewis was brutally honest about his questions and his anger. He never doubted God, he just doubted God's character. So much so that he was afraid of what his writings might do to people's faith if they knew that someone who had written so profoundly about Christianity and the Christian life could now be in such a dark place. But he also knew it was a story that people needed to hear because they had their stories too, and they didn't know how to tell theirs. So he published it under a false name, but published it he did. Because we all have a story to tell. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, 1 in 5 Americans will experience a mental illness of some kind. Schizophrenia, bipolar disorders, major depressions, or anxiety disorders. And 1 in 25 live with a chronic and serious mental illness. Chances are you know someone that has or is suffering from such a disorder. Maybe you are someone. A few years ago, I was asked to officiate the funeral of a young man who had committed suicide. The U.S. Surgeon General's office reported in 1999 that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in this country. And among those as aged 10 to 24, it's the second leading cause of death. And none of those facts or figures include those who quietly live with their grief, their periods of depression, their bitterness over past wrongs, financial worries, concerns about health, and ultimately the fear of death. As Henry David Thoreau captured it, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. We all have a story to tell. Our story begins in Genesis, where God says that we were made in His image. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? One of the things that we as Christians profess, but usually don't understand too well or forget about completely, is that while we proclaim that God is one, God has never been alone throughout eternity. Because God is one, but God is also community. And that divine community has existed, exists now, and will exist in perfect harmony. Which is why we find such bold statements as in 1 Peter 3:14, where we are told, "Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened." And Jesus said in Matthew, "Do not worry about your life." To be made in the image of the triune God is to be made in and for relationship, to be in harmony with ourselves, with God, and with the life around us. We were created to reflect the divine community of Father, Son, and Spirit, both in our internal lives, how we feel about ourselves, and in our external lives, how we relate to the world around us. We were made to be whole, and we were made for each other. We all have our individual stories, yes, but our stories make no sense apart from other people's stories and apart from the story of God. And so to be made in the image of the Trinity is to be made whole, complete, and in harmony with God and all of his creation. Unfortunately, the fall and sin shattered all of those relationships. So now we're isolated from God, estranged from the creation, fighting with each other, and disconnected internally with who we are. You ever feel like you don't know who you are, or you're not comfortable in your own skin? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror which because of sin is shattered and distorted as well. We are strangers to God, to the world, to each other, and finally, we are strangers even to ourselves. The sin that runs rampant in the world drives us apart. The sin that we have done and the sin that has been done to us make it difficult to recognize our reflection as reflections of the divine image. As children of God, and finally, as a community being formed by the Holy Spirit. Even so-called secular voices are recognizing that as our culture increases the distance between individuals, so our mental health deteriorates. I was trying to better understand a friend's story one time, and I was introduced to a book which talks about borderline personality disorders. In that book, the authors make this connection between the increasing isolation of the individual and the rise of mental issues. They write, "One of the big losers in these tectonic shifts has been group loyalties, devotion to family, neighborhood, church, occupation and country. As society continues to foster detachment from people and institutions that provide reassuring rapprochement, individuals are responding in ways that virtually define the borderline syndrome. Decreased sense of validated identity, worsening interpersonal relationships, isolation and loneliness, boredom, and without the stabilizing force of group pressures, impulsivity." If we indeed are made as community, then the loss of community means we are walking around missing huge parts of who we are. We are not whole. And this disintegration of community and individuals has to be understood in the context of the fall of all of creation. Because we are not disembodied spirits. What is going on in our bodies affects who we are. One of the unfortunate things that we inherited from Greek philosophy was this notion that our body was somehow unimportant, that we just occupied a shell that shouldn't affect anything about us and have certainly no control. Try going for sleep without sleep for five days and nights and see how true that is. Or live with chronic pain year after year. Some of us get grouchy if we just miss a meal. So as a community trying to be there for each other, we must not forget that while sin is the thing that has ripped the fabric of creation apart, the brokenness of creation can manifest itself as physical problems, chemical imbalances, or some other issue over which the individual has little control. See, too often we think that as Christians, we shouldn't have any mental problems. And certainly medication is not something we should be taking. But we wouldn't think anything twice about using corrective lenses if we had vision problems, or going to a doctor if we had a broken leg. As Paul writes in Romans, all of creation groans with pain. It is a fallen, broken world. And even Paul, at least at one point, felt crushed by the weight of the life. For he writes in 2 Corinthians 1:8, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." However, even those mental conditions that are caused by physical problems and physical issues seem to need more than medicine for improvement. They seem to need supportive group relationships. One of the issues with military members suffering from PTSD appears to be a feeling of isolation from loved ones who cannot understand and perhaps cannot deal with the person they no longer recognize as the person they thought they knew. And studies show that people suffering from stress disorders are also suffering an identity crisis because they no longer recognize themselves as the person they thought they were. And they desperately need to talk these things out, but they don't know where to do it. They don't have a safe place to tell their story. So is there an answer? Yes, I think there is. Because we confess, profess, and believe that while this is a broken and fallen world, it is one that is being healed. As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Each of the historic traditions of the church that we've been talking about calls us into this healing of Christ. The contemplative tradition invites us to be drawn back into the reality of the divine community. The evangelical asks us to find our story not in the brokenness of the world's story, but in the wholeness of God's story. And the social justice tradition reminds us of the importance of other people's stories. All of these point toward the healing of God. As Paul writes, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Note that Paul says that we are being transformed by a relationship to the Trinity. And Paul addressed that passage to the church at Corinth, where he had been writing to them about the importance of community and the need to be one body, not isolated individuals. Where can people tell their story and find wholeness? Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And the church has always proclaimed that it is the body of Christ. While it's not very popular in our present culture, centuries of church tradition repeated that there was no salvation outside of the church. Now, among other things, that statement begs the question of where really is the church and how do I find it? But if we are only whole when through the body of Christ we join God's divine fellowship, then maybe true healing can only take place within the body. As a minimum, such a statement points to the need to share our stories in fellowship if healing would begin. And so perhaps this is why millions of dollars are spent every year as people try to find a place to tell their story, either to expensive therapists or their local bartender. But sadly, mostly not the church. So perhaps it's time to be the community of God that has room for people's stories. Maybe, as the body of Christ, that is all we were ever supposed to be. I'd like to introduce you to the story of Shawnda Pierce, stand-up comedian and Christian evangelist who wrestled with depressions for several years until finally it hospitalized her. This is her story.
I just want to get well. And I would lament and cry and pray, and I would read my Bible, and you know, when they took me to the hospital, we had to call back home and have my teenage son.